This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Southeast Asia is expected to experience a slow growth over the next 5 years for pay TV operators, even more so in established markets like Hong Kong, whereby pay TV subscribers are expected to decline. This is partly due to the availability of OTT services in the region, like iFlix, Netflix, Viu, and many more have made progress in capturing our attention. So, what happens then to pay TV or traditional TV stations? How are they making this transition and capitalizing on the rise of OTT? Well, here to answer all that is...
Hi, I'm Steve Davis. I'm the Vice President and General Manager for Asia Pacific and Japan for Ooyala. Mm-hmm. Ooyala offers solutions within the integrated video platform space. Anything from online video platforms with live and video on demand, ad tech solutions for video, as well as media logistics for video. And we manage video from pre-production out to syndication and distribution to the consumer across all devices, and help with analytics underneath the covers of all our solutions to help our customers make more revenue and have better consumer engagement for their end user.
And, you know, Steve, recently we've seen companies like Disney, they've announced their move to leave Netflix and host their own content platform. Facebook has also, you know, sort of got into the video game. YouTube, as we know, you know, it's just keep growing and growing. And this part of the region, we're heavy consumers of YouTube. It all seems to be digital. So I would start off with, like, you know, with the growing popularity of, you know, video on demand services, is live TV consumption dying here?
No, live TV is not dying. It's shifting to connected devices, right? So there's still a huge amount of weekly numbers of hours watched of all types of video, but live TV still has an enormous customer base. What we're seeing is it's all shifting to whatever connected device the consumer prefers, right? So IP-based access to live TV appeals to the current cord-cutting generation of consumers. They want to watch live TV, whether it's via app, iPad, mobile device, whatever it is. Live TV isn't dying at all. It's a different preference of how they watch it.
And there is also certain types of live TV content that really caters to this. I think sports events would be one, you know, because of the liveness of it.
That's right. Yeah, sports is an obvious one. But what we're seeing is really a growth in a lot of different areas. And whether that's sports or news is another one for live, they're all growing. And where they're mostly growing is over the mobile device. The latest statistics we have found from our analytics platform show long-form content, live or VOD, are now having hyper-growth over mobile devices, handhelds, where before that was much more tablet-driven. Mm. The largest device we're seeing the growth on is actually on the mobile device, so people are more willing to watch live programming over their mobile device than they had been in the past.
What about traditional TVs, like the TV sets that we have at home, those 45 inches, 50 inches TVs? Those seem to be traditional nowadays.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I always laugh at that and say, that's just another device, right? So if you've got a 45-inch, 50-inch, beautiful, large-screen TV, it's really just a large screen device. Hopefully it's a smart TV. And what you're doing is you're watching content over the top, right? So it's all OTT. It's still going through an app on your television. It's still internet-based. So, take my kids, for instance. They never sit down and look at a TV guide and say, I want to watch this program when it's going to come up. They watch whatever they want when they watch it. And whether that's on the big screen, on a computer, or an iPad, or a mobile phone, it's all the same to them.
Well, Steve, I remember the days of flipping through the TV guide and using a highlighter to highlight them so that I would remember.
As do I.
So what are some of the current trends in the video industry? Because of, you know, a lot of these new services are coming up, how has it changed in recent years?
Yeah, so consumers are demanding new and diverse types of content, right? Again, so one part is one change is that the consumer watches what they want when they want. Another part in what we're going to see coming at the end of, 2017 and 2018 is really a proliferation of what I call cool things within content, right? So changes within virtual reality, right, or 360-degree content will all be more widely produced and accepted, and that's going to just gain popularity within the consumers as more content is available for those consumers.
Is there a geographical trend for this part of the region, especially, Uyala is your handling markets in Asia Pacific and Japan. Asia Pacific itself is, it's such a big, diverse geographical location here. Is there any type of specific trends that is unique to this part of the region here?
Yeah, so where APJ tends to lead is one on the usage of mobile devices. The other is in technology, where we're seeing 4K being adopted in the States, in the United States for now. 4K has been around in APJ for a while, and on my last visit to Japan, I saw my first 8K stream, right? So, what's going to end up happening is the quality is so high that all of the digital video is going to have to follow that type of 8K broadcast quality, and consumers will want that. They won't settle for anything less. They want what they can see on the TV. They want across all their devices. So virtual reality, 360, 4K, 8K, all of the better quality video, it's all coming. A lot of it's here now, but it's going to be even further adopted.
Does that bring a problem to content creators? Because, to create content that's 4K ready or even 8K ready for, like you mentioned, and VR enable, it's a lot of work and it's a lot of money involved, and a lot of the local players may not be able to have that muscle power to create content for our consuming behaviors, and we tend to then prefer the global players in that sense. Does this bring like a problem to content creators?
It does. Content right now is expensive to produce. It's even more expensive to purchase, right? So, you'll just see that Star India, an Uyala customer, just purchased the rights of the Indian Premier League for cricket for $2.5 billion, right? So, it is expensive to produce. It's even more expensive to purchase. What Uyala tries to do is help everyone on the content side of it. So there's an entire content creation flow of pre-production to post-production. And what we try to do is you can get your costs down by using automation through our system, which then alleviates the pain of having to produce all this other, new and forward-thinking types of content.
Now, the video streaming business is increasingly getting more competitive with new players emerging, both globally and regional as well. How does the entry of global players affect content creators in the region who, don't have their own streaming platforms?
Yeah, well, we're seeing that too, right? So, from an Uyala standpoint, that's a good problem, right? So we've got a lot of customers who are going against the global giants, and they're going to need to compete. And the way they can do that is by leveraging whether it's our OTT platform or our live platform or any types of the VOD services that we offer. By having companies like Uyala provide that for them, they're able to compete. But the gorillas continue to get bigger, right? The what we always call FANG, Facebook, Apple, Netflix, Google, and I guess there's two A's in there with Amazon. They are the gorillas. They continue to buy as much content as they can, and it gets hard to compete against them. We have another great, very large customer in Korea who just went live with their OTT apps last week and look to be doing very well against, FANG and the other global guys. So you need solutions to compete. The way to do it is by being smarter technology-wise, and then having a great content library.
Should these global video entertainment companies be concerned about meeting the content demands of local audiences?
Sure. I mean, and that's the other thing, too, right? We're always trying to learn about our consumer, because at the end of the day, the consumer is only going to pick a few different platforms to get their content from, right? So everyone will go to Facebook and maybe check their Facebook feed once a day or however often you use it. But where they get their premium content will depend upon the offering. So What happens a lot is the global players aren't as interested in the localities, and the local providers need to be able to compete against the global guys, and that's one way to do it, is offering a better personalized experience for each individual who's watching and looking for specific content.
I'm speaking to Steve Davis, he's the Vice President and General Manager APJ for Ooyala. When we come back in just a moment, we'll be talking about the new technologies in this space and where does AI, as always, come into play. We'll be right back, BFM 89.9.
Build financial mountains. BFM 89.9.
This is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu and I'm on the phone with Steve Davis. He's the Vice President and General Manager APJ for Ooyala and we're talking about the TV industry with the rise of OTT players and streaming providers and also the rise of mobile devices. There's a lot of change within the sector itself. So Steve, let's talk about some of the new technologies that are emerging in this space, things like VR and 360 videos. What about AI, Steve? Does artificial intelligence have any role to play in the video space?
Yeah, it's a huge, again, tip of the iceberg, right? It's a huge, I don't want to say new, AI's been around for a while, but very exciting within video, the use that's coming. So to give you an idea, video services, we're just scratching the surface on the use of AI and machine learning. You know, Netflix and others are leveraging AI for search and recommendation, but it goes much more beyond that. And you can get into contextual within video. So I'll give you an example, right? As a consumer, I go on and watch a video, and maybe it's about tennis, and we personalize that experience based on my history. And so we have recommendations that I may like for other video to watch. But as I'm watching this video, AI is learning within the video itself, who's in it, matches it up with metadata, and Ooyala is powering all of this under the covers. We then set up a personalized ad, if it's an ad-based video, because we know that Roger Federer was in the tennis video itself. Here's an ad from Rolex with Roger Federer in it, and the AI is learning as I'm watching the video of my engagement. Did I watch the whole video through? Did I leave that video and go on to another video? And then it starts to learn from there. So at the end of the day, after AI and machine learning keeps tracking my usage and my patterns, it's giving me, the next time I come on, a much better experience. Here are videos you might be interested in. Here are live you might be interested in. Here are personalized ads that actually make sense to me. I mean, there's nothing worse than watching a video and a random ad that I couldn't care less about. I have to sit through for 30 seconds, and I don't want to do that, right? So, and again, AI tools provide a much deeper level of personalization. It helps adapt features to the UI and meets, you know, unique needs of each viewer.
And then we've got companies like Dolby who are looking at ways that we could, you know, they could track emotions, our facial expressions when we're watching movies to, you know, cater to us better.
That's right. That's coming. We don't do anything to do with that yet. But like I said, it's just scratching the surface. There's some really cool things that can be done that have a practical value too. I think some of the stuff is kind of cutesy. There's a real practical value of AI within video that will, for our customers, Ooyala customers, the businesses, will help them make a lot more money. For the end consumer, they'll get a much better experience.
So for specific types of video content, such as sports, how does video analytics come into play here?
So that's a great question. So video analytics within sports, there's a lot of different uses, right? So I might be watching a live event, and again, it's all about personalization. Sports is a funny one because what you're learning is as the event's going, you're either going to gain consumers or you're going to lose consumers. And a lot of that is dictated by the event itself, right? But within a live feed, no matter what, if you interact with your consumers in a specific way, you might be able to keep that audience on longer than they may have on a what we would call a blowout game, right? The game's no longer fun to watch, but now through different functionality, you can interact with your consumer. And there are many sports teams doing this around the world. You know, we power a lot of different sports leagues using the Ooyala systems, whether it's in Australia, you know, AFL, NRL, netball, the NBL, National Basketball League. We are on the cutting edge of what, you know, interaction with consumers. So sports is very interesting. You're doing real-time analytics of who's watching what, when, where, but who also is interacting, whether it's looking at statistics, whether it's clicking on ads during the live broadcast. There's a lot of different things you can do.
And how is the TV viewing experience changing overall with all this coming into play? I think, you know, some of the video analytics in sports, you know, we've seen it slightly in some content providers. How is the viewing experience changing here?
Yeah, and again, the viewing experience is interesting. What we're seeing, again, is the live sports, you know, whether the broadcast is on your TV or on your phone, what we're seeing the most is people are still watching. Live TV and live sports is certainly not dying, but it's just shifting. And again, what we look at is the statistics of age groups. The younger generation, the cord-cutting generation, is much more interactive during live sports than, say, my generation, which, you know, I'm 45 and I just want to watch the sporting event, which seems crazy to my kids. My kids will interact with all the fun things to do on an app or on the live broadcast, where I'm typically looking for the sports broadcast and a few statistics. So it is interesting, and what we're seeing is much more interactive from the younger generations and as they grow.
Well, you know, actually, even my mom, she would watch a TV show while, you know, doing research on her iPad and also talking on the phone at the same time.
That's right.
So how about in production, the production side of things? How has the way content is created and delivered changed with all this, you know, over-the-top players and, you know, multiple devices at one point of time? How has this changed in terms of the production side of things?
Yeah, there's a huge gap between traditional content creation and IP-based systems, right? So now it used to be content production was the classic design, direct, perform, capture, edit, and then look at the analytics. Right? That's the old traditional content production format. Now it is much more complex. You're trying to produce a piece of content that is being seen over all different devices to people around the world. It might have geo-blocking and performance issues, and you're trying to manage for a much, much more complicated process. So now you break it out where an IP-enabled system, and again, I would push Uyala's media logistics workflow system to help our customers get through the new content IP-based system, right? So there's content preparation, there's delivery, how do you monetize that content, and then the end-user experience. And each part of those categories have a very complicated set of feature functions that are needed to be worked out. So, for instance, in content preparation, you no longer just create a piece of content. You need to know, is there security or DRM involved? What's the metadata, and how can that metadata be seen across all devices? How do you package up that content, encode it, and have analytics behind it? And that's just content preparation. You don't even get into the content delivery part. And where is it being delivered? Is it worldwide? Is it geography-based? And each part of the new workflow is super complicated, and you need to automate it through a system.
And I guess, you know, that will be a great way to start our next conversation, because it seems like, you know, that is an entire different, you know, set of a ball game that you have to play in terms of delivering content with so many devices and, you know, so many types of behaviors and habits as well.
That's exactly right. So when we go back and talk about IVP, the integrated video platform, you know, there are three groups that are completely integrated, but a conversation in and itself is the media logistics side, which is, you know, how do you manage content creation these days, which is much different than how it used to be traditionally.
And Steve, before you leave, you know, what would be your advice, or what would you, you know, want content creators here to ask themselves to get ready for, you know, the coming year, which is, you know, 2018 is approaching, and a lot of, you know, people will be creating new content as we speak now. What should they be asking themselves for those content providers or content creators?
Yeah, we always ask a few different questions, and one of them is, are you struggling in today's, you know, new format, right? How are you dealing with creating content that needs to be seen by people all over the world in many different formats? And that typically gets the ball rolling. So we ask a lot of questions. Where are you struggling today? How are you managing one piece of content that needs to be seen for everyone? Are you automating the system? Are you losing money in days and time of getting that piece of content from pre-production out to the consumer? And the answer is typically yes. On all the above, there are many issues that content creators are having. And then we can get into the specifics of where we help.
I've been speaking to Steve Davis. He's the Vice President and General Manager APJ for Ooyala. It's a company that harnesses the power of big data to help broadcasters, operators, media companies. And we've been talking about the TV industry and some of the changes that's taking place. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.